out a little bit about that or not. So we know that we are in a war. We know that our enemy has come. So I'm going to read this parable quickly, parts of it to you. We're in Matthew 13. Another parable, verse 24, he brought forth to them saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. Good seed, we're happy about that. But while men slept, and I am not going to preach the same sermon as I did last week, but I want you to remember this today so you can get a further understanding on it. The church of the living God has to quit being in slumber if we are going to win. All right? So get that in your mind, okay? Then, while we're sleeping, an enemy comes and sows tares among the wheat and goes his way. He throws seeds. He throws seeds just like we throw seeds, except for our seed is thrown into good ground and his seed is trying to crowd out our good ground. Okay? So the tares look just like wheat. Now, I had to really hunt to find out what tares look like and what, I mean, I went to the Farmer's Almanac. Now, this is desperate on my part. Okay, so they look alike. Unless you are a farmer, unless you are aware of doing this in the field, you would probably not even know that there was a tare. In the body of Christ, if you're not on top of what the enemy looks like, what he sounds like, what he wants to do, he's right alongside of you, and you won't recognize who he is unless you're paying attention. Truth? Truth. So if we can win, and we can, and if we have the victory, and we do, that doesn't mean that we have no responsibility to be aware. It means we have to have tactics. We have to know what he's doing. And so the wheat and the tare grow up beside each other. And Satan's malicious intent in sowing tares among the wheat is to cause you to have problems and confusion and distractions. And he's been really good at it for 2,000 years. I mean, he has been like, he knows mankind. He knows what he needs to do in order to get you into something else other than your focus on Jesus Christ. So these tares actually grow up, and when it brings forth the harvest, it gets close to the harvest, it has black seeds. Black. And in those black seeds, there is actually a narcotic drug that causes people to slumber and sometimes even die. Yeah, I know. Okay, so the seed is a mixture. So if you don't know and you don't keep yourself pure and you're not aware of what the enemy is doing and you're not guarding your heart, your mind, your mouth, your ears, then you become a mixture, and a mixture can not only be poisonous, but it can kill you. Thank you. I will. Tuffy's on my team right there. Okay, so Jesus told us there's always going to be tares. There's always going to be tares. So, but the point today is going to be this. Are there any tares in your field of your heart? That is the question. Because if the tares are allowed to grow and mix with the wheat, at some point it will become apparent. At some point it shows up. Okay, so tares can affect our field as well, and so we have to be aware of what the enemy is doing. So I'm going to tell you a story that will hopefully help you understand this. So this is a story that I only heard, not from the original owner, so I am probably going to say it different, and I've added my own take to it, just so you know. Okay, but it's good. All right, you'll remember it because it's a good story. Okay, there's this man, and he has a really nice house. Nice house, a big house. It's nice outside. It's nice inside. He's got 10 rooms. He's got 2 stories. And so one day, shut up, Teresa. Okay. One day, oh, that's my daughter, just in case anybody knows. I don't. I don't usually tell her in the people in the congregation to shut up. Yes, okay. So Jesus came one day, and he knocked on the man's door. And the man opened the door, and he said, "Oh, I recognize you. You are Jesus. You are wonderful. You are the giver of light. You are the salvation for mankind. I am so happy you are here. Please come in." And so Jesus, being a gentleman, came in, and he had a wonderful time eating dinner with him. And then he said, "I have a very special place for you. I am going to be happy to give you this. This is the master suite. This is where you get to, I am sure you're going to enjoy this part. I know you're going to love this room. It's the best room of the whole house." And so Jesus, being a gentleman, went to the master bedroom. Another knock on the door. And the man answered. And he said, "I know who you are too. You are Satan. You are a thief. You have come to kill, to steal, and destroy. You are not allowed to come in here, but you see, the door was open. And Satan stuck his foot in the door and then his shoulder in the door, and then he forced himself in, and all night long he tormented that man." So the next morning when Jesus came down, he said, "Jesus, where were you? You were upstairs last night, and Satan, the enemy, came, and he knocked on the door, and I opened it, and he forced his way in, and I had such a fight with him all night long. I am so worn out. I am so miserable. Why didn't you protect me?" And Jesus, being a gentleman, said this, "You've only given me one room. I am a guest in the rest of this house." Mm-hmm. So the man said, "I understand what you're saying. So I'm going to give you the whole upstairs. You have complete control of it. Take it. It's yours." So Jesus, being a gentleman, said thank you and took charge of the complete upstairs. But later that night, there was another knock at the door. And again he opened the door. And again it was Satan. And he said, "No way, you can't come in." But Satan forced his way in again through the open door. Are you getting this? Okay. And there was a terrible struggle. And the man was so worn out and he was full of fear the next morning. And when Jesus came down, the man was mad. He was mad. "I gave you the whole upstairs. What is going on? Look at everything I've given to you. I would think that you would be nice enough to take care of me if you were in my house. I gave you the whole upstairs. Don't you remember how much I've done for you throughout my life?" And Jesus, being a gentleman, said, "You've given me the whole upstairs." So the man said, "Okay. I hear you, Jesus, so I'm going to give you access to every part of the house. Everything but this one room. I have to be in charge of something. There's just this one room, and you don't really want it. There are some things in there that you wouldn't really enjoy. It's comfortable for me, but not sure it'd be so comfortable for you, so I'm just going to keep this one room for myself, but you can have everything else." He thinks he's safe. But that evening, to his horror, and he can't believe it. He can't believe it. He goes to the door, and the enemy flies through the crack in the door, just a crack. And he torments him again, worse than the other times. And the next morning, Jesus appears, and this time the man is sad, and he's broken. And he says, "Jesus, I don't understand. I just don't understand. Why is this happening? Why is this happening?" And Jesus, being a gentleman, answers softly. And he says, "I'm still just a guest in your house. You are the owner." So the man, now broken, realizes the truth of what he's been doing all along. He said, "Jesus, I hear you. I'm going to give everything to you. I'm all in. I am all in. You take me, you take all of my heart, you take all of this house, you occupy everything until I am completely empty and you take control. So that night, the devil came knocking on the door. But this time, Jesus answered. And Satan was so confused. He kept looking at the number on the door. He kept looking at what was inside the house. He's like, he goes, I must be at the wrong place. And Jesus said, oh, no, this is the right address, but I am the owner now. And as the owner, I answer the door. And Satan fled the premises. Amen? The enemy cannot win against the voice of authority that happens when Jesus has all of us. All being the key word. You see, it's outside influences of tares growing up around us that we allow to affect us. And if we allow it in our own house, in our own field, we give Satan access whether we think we are or not. And so it's easy at some point to tell if you have allowed tares inside the field of your heart, because it will end up becoming apparent. Okay, so Matthew 7:20 says, by their fruits, you will know them. That means that eventually, whatever you have given to the Lord will show up. If you have given everything to him, that will show up. If you've given everything to him except for a part of you, that will show up. And so, Jesus came to save the lost. How can the lost see and hear the difference of our lives as Christians, as representatives of the Most High God? We are the light in the world. But how can we be the light if half of us is turned off? And so, what if we look like everyone else? What difference are we? What if we say everything just like everybody else? What difference can we be? What if we think just like the world and make excuses for everything that we do? And we don't care about what Jesus thinks about it. So Jesus came for love's sake. He came for love. He loved you, didn't he? Yes. Well, he loves you if you didn't know it. He's in love with you, actually. And he gave it all. And so love is the difference that the world needs. Love is the answer. Nothing can beat love. How many of you know that love always wins? The love always wins. Love defeats Satan. Love impacts the world for good. That's what love does. And so God's love should be so abundant in your life that you can't help but being a giver. Because once you have so much of Jesus, something starts seeping out of you, and it's called love. Now, you know that God has called people to different calls. Do you know that? And some of us know the teachings on the seven mountains that, you know, some people are called to business. Some people are called to science. Some people are called to media and all that kind of industry. Some people are called to family, etc. There's seven of them. But these are the influences of society that Christians get to infiltrate. And God has called you to at least one of them. Say, God has called me to at least one. Mm-hmm. And so you're supposed to be the love that infiltrates whatever God has called you to. You know, one of the mountains is the church. Just saying. One of the mountains is the church, where love is supposed to infiltrate and be the difference and make the difference and shine the light like the difference. Okay? How much more should the church look like that? Okay. But there are people, and some people, that are examples of not allowing the tares to affect them. Instead, they are affecting others for the sake of love itself. So how many of you ever watch America's Got Talent? Not all of you, but some of you. Okay. Well, you know, some of the things you have to fast forward through. This is why we tape things, okay? But some things are amazing. And when you are a person that is representing light, sometimes the light is called to go into the darkness. Hello? If we all just stay on Christian shows as Christians, if we all just go to Christian schools as Christians, if we all just gather together inside these four walls and that's all we ever do as a Christian, then somebody's going to miss out on what being a Christian looks like, what being a Christian sounds like, what being a Christian acts like. So there's this man who's on this year. His name is Michael Ketterer. This guy is amazing. Okay, so first of all, he comes out and, you know, you don't know if the guy's even going to make it. Like, the guy's nervous, you know. He's really nervous, and you're like, woo, you know. But they show you a little bit of his background before he gets on stage, so we know. But they don't yet. The judges don't know. And so this guy does what only he could do, because he is called to do it. Okay, so let's watch. There's more to the story. Okay, so sometimes Simon Cowell is not known for being the nicest man alive. However, he is one of the most honest men. Okay, and so he said, actions speak louder than words. Okay, and this is the... this that you just saw was the fruit of this man's field of his heart. He wasn't doing anything that he doesn't usually do. Now, when he was singing that song, he said he was singing it for his family, that you don't know what it's like to love somebody the way I love you. How many of you love it when a family loves each other? I mean, that just to have a family love each other is a sign and a wonder in today's society, right? And so if you love each other, you are a big shining light in the darkness, just right there, because people don't even know how to love anymore. And so he was doing what he always does. He loves, but he loves with God's love. But when I watched this, I had to rewind it and watch it again, because when he was singing, you don't know what it's like to love somebody the way I love you. It was my father singing to me. I'm telling you that I had to go into intercession on the spot. I'm on my couch going, oh, I'm praying this out for the whole world. I'm going to pray this out so everybody knows your love, Lord. I'm going to pray this out. I'm going to speak this out. I'm going to get to the other side of this, because people need to know how much you love them. And when they know how much you love them, they start acting like lovers.
That's right.
Oh, yeah. And then you see, it doesn't cost you anymore to give everything to him, because you're safe. You're in a place of security. You know that love wins. You know that his love wins. You know that you're secure in his hands, because love has captured your heart. And now there's nowhere for the enemy to get in. He doesn't know what to do. He can't get in the door anymore, because love has slammed the door. Because when you're in love with Jesus, there's no opening. See, as long as you kind of love Jesus, when he comes knocking, you'll open the door. You know why? You got something in your life. You got something in your life you're not willing to give up. You've got something in your life that you're still saying, well, I gave you all of this. How come you're not protecting me? How come I'm mad at God? That's not a good thing. But we want him to do it all. He's already done it all, people. He gave his only son to die for you, to provide everything. But now he's counting on you to slam the door. But you slam the door by loving him completely, surrendering to him completely, and not giving any room for the enemy to come in your house. And the faster we find out that that is true and that he is a gentleman and that he will not force his way in, the faster we can surrender all and be safe in his love and give it back out. However he desires. It's not up to us. I didn't choose who I am and what I do. I chose Jesus. And guess what? Jesus called me. Jesus has me and you a plan for your life. He has a purpose for your life. He has a direction for your life. He has seeds he's sown in your life. He has things, great things, amazing things, unbelievable things that will affect all people around you. This man has now got so many people. What do you think people did? What do you think I did? I looked this man up. I'm like, who the heck is Michael Ketterer? I want to know more about this man. I wanted to know more about this man before they told me more about this man. I'm like, that, he's got to love God. Because he just sang that with the love of God, and nobody adopts six kids if they don't love God. I mean, come on now. Hello? All right. So he was just being himself. All right. So now you get to know the backstory of who he is. I know, isn't that exciting? Is first. Amen. It's pretty heavy back. How do you even add to that, hardly? Okay. Worship comes in many forms. Worshiping God shows up in many forms. That is a form of worship because our love for him should show up. Yes. Our love for him should show up in our life, in our relationships, in what we do, and what we are trying to go after in our life. What are we pursuing? We need to pursue him, and in pursuing him, everything. Do you know who needs who in that relationship? They said that their lesson was the cherry on top. This is no longer something that they have to work at doing it. Listen, loving God and doing what he called you to do is not easy sometimes. It can have challenges to it. But the rewards that he brings you from obedience, the love that he returns to you. Can you imagine the homecoming that they will have in heaven? We have to make our life decisions based on Jesus. You know, they had this thing, what would Jesus do, years ago, and everybody wore the bracelets, but I don't know if anybody changed their life. You know, you can hang a cross around your neck, and it doesn't get you there. If you haven't been with him at the cross. And so our love for him ends up looking like a bunch of lives that are changed. If you got to understand this, what you do does matter. What you do does matter. You are the best Christian that somebody knows. You might be lousy at being a Christian, but you're still the best one somebody knows. Well, it's true. And you know, Satan will come with his tares and say, see, you can't be a good representation of mine. You know, you've got this, you've allowed that tear in your house. You allowed that tear in your heart. You didn't give all your rooms to Jesus. Well, guess what? Today is your opportunity. You're not leaving here today without an opportunity to open up all those rooms in your house of your hearts to Jesus Christ and let his love shine through. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. He came to save and heal the lost. He came to redeem every part of you. He didn't come to save a little bit of your heart. He didn't come to save a little bit of your soul. He came so that you could have life abundantly. And your opportunity is to say yes to him. And in so doing, when you say yes to him, he goes, oh, you don't even know what kind of ride you're going to be on, but it is going to fulfill you. It is going to give you joy. It is going to change other. Do you know that there is no greater joy? What the Bible says, there's no greater joy than seeing that your children walk in peace. Well, that's how God feels about you, and that is how you will feel about your children. But guess what? Your children are not contained to your physical children. The children of God need to be the parent to those who don't know him yet. There are lost and broken people all around us all day long. They don't even know how to get there. They don't know how to receive Jesus. They don't know what love looks like. Oh. The only way they're going to know what love looks like is how you represent love. Love. And you can't even represent love well without Jesus loving through you. Everything else is kind of a substitute. You know, we love ice cream, but not really. We like ice cream. But if you love somebody, you don't know what it's like until you really love, and you can't really love until you know how he loves you. So that's it. Bow your heads. Oh, Jesus, wow. We know that you have a call on every single person in this place and anyone who's watching, Lord. You've already measured everything about them. You've already got a purpose and a destiny for them to complete. You already know every person that they are supposed to influence, whether it's international or whether it's one-on-one. But Lord, here's what we do know. We all need to know your love. We can't love properly without you loving through us. And Lord, we're giving you permission right now to look inside the field of our heart. Look inside every room that we house the Holy Spirit in. If there is something that we have not given to you, we want to right now. Lord, we don't know what tomorrow will bring, but right now, you brought us to this place. You brought us to a place of a life-changing opportunity moment where we give you all of our brokenness and you give us all of your love to heal us, to make us who you've wanted us to be. So, Lord, in this great exchange, we are laying down false lovers. We are laying down excuses. We are laying down our sin at your feet. There could be people in here that have never done this before. And if that's you, I'm not going to embarrass you. I just want you to raise your hand because we're going to say a prayer. And if you mean this prayer, you're going to be welcomed into the family of God. And you're going to be loved like you've never been loved before. So if you're here today and you need to be loved by God like that and you have never done it, raise your hand. And we're going to pray together for you. So, Lord, we thank you that you brought us to this place then for us to examine ourselves as Christians, those who love you, those that are called by your name. And, Lord, we ask that you don't leave anything unturned inside of us. We want freedom. We want freedom from the terrors of the enemy. He might be in the world, and we might be in the world, but you said we don't have to be of the world. We don't have to allow tares in our hearts. We don't have to allow tares in our spirit. So, Lord, I thank you for redeeming us from that. Thank you. So right now, one-on-one with Jesus. You don't have to worry about him being mad at you. He's not mad. He's happy. He's given you this opportunity because he loves you wholeheartedly, and he proved it. And he's saying, come with me and trust me with this, because when you trust me completely is when you begin to really live. Everything else is sinking sand. There's no quality of life outside of Jesus being the center. But when Jesus is the center, he takes over everything, and he puts things in your life in order, and he gives you back that which was lost, and then some, abundance. So in your mind, look into your heart. Look into every room and let him examine if there's anything in there that needs to be thrown out. And then just give it to him. Just say, I understand it now, Jesus. You're just a gentleman. You just weren't going to force your way in. You were just waiting for me to offer it up to you. So I offer it up to you right now. Now Jesus comes. He takes all of your sin, all of your brokenness, all of your neediness, all of your emotional trauma. He's taken it all away from you right now. And he is giving you back his joy and his completeness. That is what Jesus does. He just wants you to be all in. He wants you to understand that if you're not all in, you're not in at all. So give it all to him. Just give it all to him. It's easy. Thank you, Jesus. We love you. We love you. Thank you, Lord. The other interesting thing about what makes a difference between a wheat and a tare is this, is that a tare grows up beside the wheat, and it's hard to tell the difference until it's harvest time. And then the tares stand straight, but the wheat bows. Someday, everyone will bow. Every knee will bow. And every mouth will have to proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord. But we get to do it on purpose in advance. And we get to know him as Lord and as Savior. Jesus is worth it all. It's worth it all to be free. It's worth it all to be loved. It's worth it all to be a lover. You know that Michael Cutter is a man of God. And he's in a Christian worship band. Do you know what that band is called? Influence. I'm not even kidding you. And you have the influence of God when you live for him. Amen. So I'm going to show you. Well, I think so. Let me just make sure. Guys, have you felt like you had opportunity, and have you offered things to God today that you didn't know you had to offer him? Okay. Because the Bible says this, 1 Corinthians 11:28. Let a man examine himself. I'm not your judge. People sitting next to you, they're not your judge. The Bible says you have to examine yourself. That is your responsibility, as much as people in this society don't like the responsibility. Tough. The Bible says you need to examine yourself before the Lord. And so that also means don't be examining everybody else. It's between them and God, just the same way it's between you and God. And so God is the one who searches the heart. He's the one who knows what really happened here today. No one could tell. You raise your hand, you don't raise your hand, you say a prayer, you don't say a prayer. No one knows what's happened inside of you but you. And so God is just wanting lovers. He wants people who don't just talk about him or cry out to him when they need something. He's looking for lovers who will love him with all that they have and offer him every part of their life. So when you surrender, I don't think Michael Ketterer, I mean, they might have known they were getting 3 kids at once. But I don't think they knew about the 4th and the 5th child until God put it inside of their heart and in their home. I don't know what God's called you to do, but I know this. It won't be selfish. It'll be selfless. It may not be what you think you want to do until you do it, and then you find completion in it. God never takes things away from you. He only adds to you. So you have to know his character. He is a good God, and he loves you. So how many of you know that children are amazing? God loves them, right? Didn't you see what he just did for all them kids? Well, is Isha here? Huh? This what he felt about generations, and he said, take over the earth, take dominion, and multiply, replenish, and take dominion. Amen? So that's what we do when we're doing baby dedications. If not, then we'll just be moving on down the road. Jesus. I think every week I love Jesus more. I think every day I love Jesus more. She's coming. The little one. Okay. Do you love Jesus more? Yeah. Do you love him more right now than you did an hour ago? Okay. That's what we're here to do. Amen. Okay.